Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us to be able to get back into your word. We thank you so much for the many things you allow us to be a part of. Help us now as we get into our studies. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word guidance. So we turn back to Matthew chapter 24. We covered most of this, but let's look at the last part here where the Lord's given us some guidance and letting us know that we are going to be accountable as stewards, as servants. We need to understand that everything the Lord gives us is by His grace to bless and come from Him. We must use it properly and be ready for His return. As it says here in Matthew chapter 24, picking up verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." A little bit of a clue here about the future millennial period. The Lord's going to look at all of us. We are going to be held accountable as stewards, as servants, as children, and evaluated to determine what did we do with what He blessed us with. Do we use it properly? Do we multiply it? And if so, then we will receive recognition for that. We will receive rewards. We will receive even more to utilize during the millennial period to further bring honor and glory to the Lord. But if we fail to do that, we see what's happening here. Verse 48. "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Talking about the lost there. The evil servant. Because we've got to know that we are all the Lord's. He spoke mankind into existence. Therefore, He owns everything in existence, everybody. And because of the finished work on the cross, He has the power and authority to determine whether someone will receive blessings for eternity or judgment in the lake of fire where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, we'll run on into chapter 25. Some parables here and some teachings concerning, once again, our preparedness for His return. In Matthew chapter 25. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." Now, it's been compared to the wise being the born again, the foolish being the lost. Verse 5. "While the bridegroom tarried, They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We don't know when he's going to return. He's given us some clues. He's given us some signs of the times. He's given us some parables concerning it. We know the next major prophetic event to occur is going to be the rapture. Are you ready? Are you ready to give an account as an obedient steward? Are you ready to give an account as a born-again Christian? If not, be ready. Get saved. As it continues in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." This has been compared to the Lord. After his finished work on the cross, he ascended to the Father and sits on the right hand of the Father. That is the traveling into a far country, referring to a lengthy period of time as well. It's been some 2,000 years. Back into it here in verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." His own servants would be his followers, his disciples, the born-again Christians. His goods are all the many blessings that he pours upon us as his family, as his stewards. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, little clue here, a little prophecy, that there would be a lengthy time from the Lord's finished work till he returns in the day of the Lord. Verse 19. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." So we need to understand that the Lord blesses us with things that we need to put to work. Our abilities, our materials even, that he blesses us with. Are they being productive for the kingdom? Are they beneficial to the family of God and to the glory of God? If so, then they multiply. As he continues, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord has been understood as being going into the millennial period. So, we're going to be judged. What did we do with what the Lord gave us? What did we do with the life that He gave us. After the moment of our becoming a born-again Christian, from that time to the return and the rapture of the Lord, what have we done with what He blessed us with? Did we utilize it properly? Did we multiply it? If so, then we'll hear these words, "Well done," and "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." We'll be going over into the millennial period. And He'll give us even more to deal with during the millennial period. Because as He said there, "I will make thee ruler over many things." That's further opportunities that we have to serve the Lord for that 1,000 years. As it continues in verse 22. "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" Once again, if He's given us a lot or if He's given us a little, whatever it is, we take that and we apply it and it multiplies. And then we'll get recognition for that and we'll get rewards for that. And we'll have further opportunities in a millennial period to be ruler over many things, as it says there. "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord," into that millennial period, to serve the Lord for 1,000 years. "Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed.'" See, immediately this particular one starts to make excuses why he did not multiply what he was given. Verse 25. "And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not drawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, invested it, and gotten some gain from it," some interest. Usury would be interest. So everything that we have, we can invest in a way to multiply it. You're not just talking about your finances and put them in the bank and draw interest. This is all of our substance, our very existence, the very breath that is in it, that is in us, our skills, our knowledge, our influence on others. Those are the things that are of value that the Lord has given us that we can then use and share with others. And in sharing with others, they multiply and they grow. And the Lord will bless us with even more. And then we take all of that that we have gained over into the millennial period and get to multiply it even more there. But we see what happens to the one who did not use what the Lord blessed him with, did not use his life even to serve the Lord. He just set it aside. He just buried it. He did not apply it. He did not apply his life. He did not apply anything the Lord gave him to multiply it. And in verse 28, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Out into outer darkness. We must use what the Lord gives us for the honor and glory of the Lord, for the expansion of the kingdom. Verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Now, this is speaking of sitting on the throne of his glory during the millennial period. to rule and reign for that 1,000 years. And what we have done with what the Lord has blessed us with will determine what we have to utilize during the millennial period to bring further honor and glory to the Lord. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. See, right at the end of that tribulation time is when he's going to do this separating. Separating the born again from the lost. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So here we see the clue concerning that this is the millennial period, because it says the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, this planet, this foundation, and that will be the millennial kingdom. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. So this is some examples of how we utilize the things the Lord has blessed us with. He compared it to finances over with the parable of the talents. But here he's actually speaking of our actions, our behavior. Sharing the love, that's the real value that we have. The light and the love of Jesus Christ that indwells us. When we share that, when we help others, when we do the two great commandments, love God with all of our existence and to love others as ourselves, then we will be doing these things that he's speaking of here. For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Of my brethren. The brethren is speaking of benefiting the kingdom, benefiting the family of believers, the brethren. We need to love everyone, but we need to focus on helping the brethren primarily. You spread the gospel so that others can come in to be a part of the family, and then you pour the blessings upon the family. If you merely go out and pour the blessings upon the lost, you just make their lives more comfortable being lost. So you start with getting them saved, and then you pour the blessings upon them. As it continues, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting punishment for those that are lost, for those that just do things for their own selfish, lustful desires, those that do not use what the Lord has given them to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Cast into that lake of fire, everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's awesome what the Lord has prepared for us that truly believe in him, that are part of his family. And the Lord gives us an opportunity to be able to take what He has given us and to share it with others. And He has given us salvation. So we have an opportunity to share that with others. How do we do that? By preaching and teaching the gospel, the Word of God, as He gives us that great commission that sends us out as missionaries, basically. As we see in Matthew chapter 28, now this is after His death, burial, resurrection, and shortly before His ascension, one of the times that He's speaking to the apostles that are there and the other disciples, and giving them the great commission that goes to all believers. As it says here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, this reference to all power being given to the Lord is a return of power to the Lord, because He had to lay down some of His power to humble Himself to come down to take on flesh. After His finished work, then He takes that back on, plus gains more in the finished work, giving Him the authority of judgment for mankind, because He paid the price. He bought everyone back from sinful slavery with Satan and became His. Paid the price for all mankind, the lost and the righteous. And that gives Him the authority to either pardon them or to cast judgment upon them and condemn them. So all power is given back to Jesus Christ, given to Him in additional power as well. All power is given unto me in heaven. Notice, in heaven and in earth. Raising Him up to the ultimate authority, to the true Lord. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Identifying the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when we baptize, we say, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." With us always. Always with us, right there in us in the form of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are one, three in one. We really can't comprehend that, but that's the way it is. And when we become born-again Christians, the Holy Ghost comes into us, indwelling us, staying with us for eternity. And He can guide us. He can teach us. He can give us the power. He can give us the comfort. He can give us the peace that we need to do what we need to do to bring honor and glory to the Lord, and to utilize everything He gives us to gain more for the Lord. Don't have the motivation to gain it for yourself. Have the motivation that you're gaining it for the Lord. Because we could live 1,000 lifetimes over and still never repay what the Lord has already done for us. And He gives us this great commission to go out, preach, teach the gospel to all mankind, to spread that gospel on out there. As it says over there in Mark chapter 16 in verse 15, speaking of the same conversation in the same time period here, reads, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So, the Great Commission, teach and preach the Word of God. Go out there and do it, and be led by the Holy Ghost to do what the Lord wants us to do. And that is so awesome that He allows us to be a part of His work, to be able to go out there and to expand the kingdom, to to multiply the blessings that He has given us. And we are truly looking forward to His return. And just like John writes in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, we know that He's going to come back. We know He ascended to the Father. And in John chapter 14, it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." The way. Jesus Christ is the way. He has taught us. When we trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into us. He begins to do a work in us. He begins to guide us as He continues to teach in the Gospel of John chapter 14 and so forth about how He becomes our guide, indwelling us and guiding us. We merely need to humble ourselves and yield to that guidance. These parables, these teachings about some of the things that have yet to be. The millennial period, the judgments, the rewards, so much ahead of us. And here letting us know that He's gone to prepare a place for us. He's going to come back and get us to be with Him forever, for eternity, and be able to be linked up with the Lord hand in hand and never have to depart from Him ever again. But note the reaction of the disciples at the time that the Lord was teaching them here in John chapter 14, verse 3. Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Jesus Christ is the only way to reach the Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is the only way to reconciliation to the Father. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, He opened the doorway to allow us to come in. He rent that veil completely in two in the temple, the Holy of Holies. It was rent in two, indicating how we can go into the Holy of Holies. We can go to the Heavenly Father and call Him Abba, which is Daddy or Papa. That was never before available since Adam's and Eve's fall in the garden. That was lost until the finished work of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way. By the finished work of Jesus Christ is the only way to get back to be reconciled with the Heavenly Father. And it's through the guidance of the Holy Ghost that comes into us when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that we can bring honor and glory to Him in everything that we say, everything that we do, with all of our existence. So let's be good stewards. Let's be attentive to the guidance of the Holy Ghost to bring honor and glory to the Lord, not disgrace, not shame. And hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You, so much for the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. We thank You, so much for the guidance that we can find when we study Your Word. And it is so awesome that not only You provide us with everlasting life, but additional blessings, additional rewards, additional opportunities to be able to serve You in the future. Thank You, so much, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.